Yeah, in a series of messages on the great and precious promises in the Word of God. And we have been picking out one verse from every book of the Bible, beginning from Genesis. Last Friday, we considered a promise from the book of Psalms. So this evening, we are looking at the book of Proverbs. We read from verse 10, chapter 4, to verse 19. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Amen. May the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his sacred word. Now the book of Proverbs is not just a book of Proverbs. It is actually full of principles and promises as well. Most of the promises in the book of Proverbs are conditional promises. For example, we have the very famous Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, which reads, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and not lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now it is clear that the Lord's promise to direct the paths of the believer is conditioned upon the believer's faith and obedience in him. Now to the degree that we trust in the Lord and seek to follow his ways, to the degree that he will guide us and direct us. There are, however, promises in this book which are given to us in an unconditional, absolute way. But this evening, the Lord helping us, we want to consider one such promises found in this book. Now let's consider the Lord helping us, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now this statement, if taken by itself, may be viewed merely as a proverbial axiom. A proverbial axiom is a saying that is developed through observation of human life and is generally and usually but not always true. If Proverbs 4:18 is merely a proverbial axiom, then all that we can say is that it is usually the case that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. However, we must remember that the book of Proverbs is not merely a collection of wise sayings of men. It is a collection of divinely inspired statements. As such, we must interpret the statements that are found in it by comparing it with other inspired statements in Scripture. We must interpret the book of Proverbs by comparing Scripture with Scripture. When we do so, we'll see that Proverbs 4:18 is indeed a statement of promise and not merely a statement of observation. It is a promise given to us by the same Lord who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, this is how the Westminster Assembly understood this verse when they use it as a scriptural proof to support the proposition that one of the benefits that in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption and sanctification is the increase of grace and perseverance therein to the end. This is Shorter Catechism, question 36. Well, with this in mind, let's study this promise by considering three things about it. First, we must note that this is a promise for the just. Secondly, this is a promise concerning the Christian walk in this life. Thirdly, this is a promise about the destination of the believer. First then, it is a promise for the just. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And this promise is clearly for the just. Who are the just? Well, clearly they are opposite to the wicked, as you see in verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, as well as in verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. You see the contrast, and we know that the word just must contrast with the word wicked. Indeed, the word just that is used here in our text translate the Hebrew word zadik, which can also be translated as righteous. This is why we say the word just is also the opposite of wicked, because righteousness is opposite of wickedness. In fact, out of 206 times that this word occur in the Old Testament, it is actually translated righteous 162 times. So just, most times when you see in the Old Testament the word just, it refers to the righteous. So the just is the righteous. Now, if Proverbs 4:18 were merely a proverbial axiom, we might think that the righteous person referred to here is one who is honest. Or perhaps if we stretch it a bit further, this is a nice person, a gentleman or a fair lady, one who does not offend people, who is helpful, who is kind, who gives to the poor, etc. But no, this cannot be what the Lord would have us understand by this word. For otherwise, the scripture would be contradicting itself. To be righteous in God's eyes is to be without sin. But the scripture tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. All righteousness are but filthy rags in the sight of God, as Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 64:6. When Adam, our first father, fell, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. All men descending from Adam by natural generation therefore are sinners. Sinners both by imputation of Adam's guilt. Sinners also by inheritance of Adam's sin nature. Sinners also because we actually sin against God. The only exception is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. And that's the reason why our catechism tells us that it is those who descend from him by ordinary generation sin. Christ did not descend from him by ordinary generation. He's born of a virgin and kept from sin by the power of the Spirit. So he was tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, who then is the just in Proverbs 4:18? Surely Proverbs 4:18 cannot be about Christ alone, since this is indeed for all believers. while comparing scripture with scripture, we may conclude that the just must refer to the elect of Christ who are justified in him. The just shall live by faith, says the Apostle Paul. And he was quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We are just, or those who are the elect of Christ are just because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them, so that in God's eyes they are just, righteous. Else there's no one who is righteous, not in this life. Proverbs 4:18, in other words, is a promise for all true believers. All who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are justified by his blood will enjoy the truth of this promise. Conversely, the wicked or unbelievers, because if you see the just as being the justified, then the wicked must be all unbelievers or who are unjustified. So all unbelievers would not only not enjoy the blessing promised in our text, but suffer the consequences of their unbelief. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Read the next verse, verse 19. They will, in other words, have a life of misery that will end in sudden destruction. But the just may claim and may rest on the promise that is given. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But what does that mean? What is this promise? We note, secondly, that this promise is a promise about the journey of the just. Now, it's interesting to consider the picture that Solomon, writing under inspiration, is painting in this proverb. He is painting, really, the picture of the Christian life, of a man on a journey, just like in Pilgrim's Progress. Here, he likens the child of God to be a traveler setting out on a journey very early in the morning, at dawn. That is, a streak of light in the horizon, the eastern sky. But as he walks, then the paths get brighter and brighter until the day is perfected with the sun shining full bright. But the question is, why? Why is the Christian life portrayed as beginning at dawn and ending with the brightness of day? Would it not be more intuitive to portray life as beginning at the brightness of morning, continuing until midday, and then heading towards the evening, and finally in the darkness of death? Why would Solomon and the Holy Spirit who inspired him have us think of the Christian life as beginning at dawn and essentially ending at noon in the brightness of day? Well, we can think of three reasons. First, the Bible teaches us that our life in this world is just a brief span compared to eternity. If you ever go hiking at dawn, you realize something very quickly. Dawn does not last very long. If you start off at dawn, you will probably have barely gone a short distance before it becomes completely bright. Life in this world is like that. The Bible tells us that we'll live on the average 70 years, and if for reason of strength, another 10 years. And then we go to our long home. Ecclesiastes 12, that's the term used. The journey at dawn is an excellent reminder of the shortness of this present life compared to eternity. But secondly, the shadows of dawn is also a good picture of this present life. For this present life is indeed like it, is it not? It is imperfect. It is dark. It is filled with pain and sorrows and misery. It is also a time when we cannot see everything clearly. This is why we experience doubts and fears. This is why we have relationship breakdowns. This is why we have frustration and exasperation day by day. Thirdly, Solomon portrays life the way that he did because the perfect day or the brightness of day is a good picture of the eternity that believers will spend. The Christian enters into the perfect day when he leaves this present world. Then all his sorrows, pain and sins will be no more. All things will be bright and clear. There will be no more uncertainties, no more frustrations and exasperation, no more darkness, no more shadows. In that day, we shall know even as we are known. This is why the journey of the just is set in dawn. But thank God that the Christian life is not all dark and shadowy. For the promise in our text is that the Christian life will grow progressively brighter and brighter. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. What does that mean? Well, the path of the just will get brighter and brighter in two senses. First, it will get brighter because each step we take after our conversion brings us closer to the perfect day. The Christian longs for that day. And as he reaches nearer and nearer to that day, his hope and the anticipation of the perfect day increases. Talk to a godly believer who is dying, and you will not see him fearing death or getting very fearful as death looms. No, you see the saint looking forward eagerly to the day when all his sorrows and pain will be taken away and when he will be found in the arms of the Lord. You see them telling you the earnestness in their heart as they prepare to meet their Savior, to see him face to face. They're taught that they will meet the Savior, that that day will come when there will no more sin and no more suffer pain and sorrows of this present world. Surely makes their path brighter and brighter. The Christian attitude towards life should not be like the heathen attitude. We reach up to 35 and say we are starting to go downhill. Shouldn't be, isn't it? Because we are getting nearer and nearer to the Lord. That is the hope. And that is in the hope of the perfect day, in the hope of seeing the Lord, we see our path getting brighter and brighter. This is the first reason why the Christian path is getting brighter. But secondly, the path of the just is getting brighter and brighter also because the Christian does not remain stagnant. If a Christian remains stagnant in his Christian life, He's probably never begun in that journey. The Christian, a true Christian, is born again, grows in grace. He grows in godly virtue. He can never escape sin in this life, but he grows more and more like Christ as he dies more and more unto sin. But it's not always a constant uphill climb. I think no one really experiences a constant uphill climb. But in general, the Christian life is not like a roller coaster, go up and down, on a plane, and it never goes higher. The Christian life may undulate a little bit, but it's going up higher and higher. That's how it ought to be. That's what the scripture teaches us. We are growing in sanctification. There's path. Therefore, it's growing brighter and brighter because God promises to protect, preserve, and sanctify the Christian. Proverbs 2 and verse 8 teaches us that the Lord keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. There's no Christian is perfect. So his life is not going to be in that consistent uphill climb. But overall, a healthy Christian will, by the grace of God, walk nearer and nearer to the light. His path should be getting brighter and brighter. I remember Dr. John Gerstner speaking about assurance. He talks about the various grounds of assurance. And he says, well, there is, of course, the objective ground, faith in the Word of God. And then there is the mystical ground, the Spirit testifying to us that we are the children of God. But then there's the subjective ground, which has to do with our self-examination. And he uses three terms: introspection, extrospection, and retrospection. Introspection is to look within. Extrospection is what your friends tell you. But what is retrospection? You look back in your life. And what Dr. Gerstner is essentially saying is that if you see that you never grow at all, not in knowledge, not in graces, then you really have very little reason to believe that you are truly born again. Because it ought not to be. If you are using the means of grace, you will grow. It may be very difficult, very staggered, up and down, you face fraught with temptations, but you grow. Because you are alive, not no longer dead in sin and trespasses. And if you're growing, you're walking the path unto the perfect day. So the path of the just grows brighter and brighter. This is the promise of our text, the promise concerning the Christian life. Sometimes the journey can be very difficult. We can lose sight of this. We begin to wonder about our Christian life. But we must remember that whatever our senses may tell us, the Word of God remains true. The path is getting brighter and brighter in hope. The path is getting brighter and brighter in sanctification. It has to be so. But now finally, Proverbs 4:18 also contain an implicit promise about our destination. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now by contrast, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. The path of the wicked will end in sudden destruction as they fall into the pit of darkness, darker than anything in this world, darker than any darkness that can be imagined in this world. What a way to end a life of misery. But the just, according to the promise of God, will finish their race on the perfect day. And what a glorious day that will be! When that day, the partially dark path will give way to the brightness of noonday, when we shall see everything in clear, and we shall no more be afflicted by pain nor sorrow, for the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. There will be no more disappointment, no more exasperation, no more wickedness, no more sin. That day will be bright and beautiful and joyful. It will be so because all that brings darkness, pain and sorrow will be put away. And not only so, but the Sun of Righteousness is shining full bright. And we are made conformable to His image, perfected so that we can receive that fullness of the light. the prophet Isaiah makes this clear when he teaches us that on the perfect day, in Isaiah 60:20, that the sun of the just shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be their everlasting light, and the days of their mourning shall be ended. The Apostle John, describing heaven, tells us, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, is none other than Christ himself. Now the Christian does not have to wait until the consummation of all things at the end of the world to experience the perfect day. The perfect day begins the minute we leave this present world. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise, the Lord told the penitent thief. The day that we leave this present life, we would appear in the celestial city to be with the Lord forever and ever. The celestial city is a city of light because Christ is there. Christ is the brightness of the perfect day. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when we shall be with the Lord to bask in his warmth and in his love forever and ever. My beloved brethren and children, what is this promise to you? You who know the Lord and believe in him, blessed are you. For the promise is unto you, both for this life and the life to come. The Christian journey is not an easy one. The Lord speaks of bearing our cross and following him. He tells us to strive, to agonize, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul speaks of running an agonizing race and fighting the good fight. Our experience shows us that there are many valleys of tears to traverse, many mountains of challenges to climb, many rivers of separation to cross, many storms of turmoil to endure. Who is sufficient for such a journey? But thank God for his promise, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Thank God that this is not merely an observation, but it is a promise. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, because the Lord himself will see to it. The Spirit of Christ has begun a good work in us, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will work the work of sanctification in us, so that our paths will grow brighter and brighter day by day as we die unto sin and grow in grace. And he will preserve us unto the day when we shall see the Lord face to face, when all darkness of sorrow and sin and tears will be put away forever. And the Spirit works in us as the earnest of that eternal inheritance, to give us a foretaste of that, so that the nearer we go in our the nearer we go to the Lord in our Christian walk, the brighter that hope gets, the brighter the path gets. Oh, may the Lord grant you the courage and strength to run the race. Run believing. Run in the strength of the Lord, clinging on to the promise and reminding yourself, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't give up. When you see the storm, turn your eyes to the Lord. The sun will shine ever brighter after the storm. Don't give up in the valley of tears. The day is coming when the Sun of Righteousness will dry up all your tears. Don't give up when you find a mountain difficult to climb. Remember that the higher you climb, the nearer you are to the Lord. And the Lord will give you the strength. Don't give up, because there are many rivers of separation to endure. Remember that across that last river, you will enter into the brightness of heavenly Canaan and meet the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, to be with him forever and ever. Amen. Now shall we sing a psalm before we enter into prayer? Psalm 25, and we'll sing verse 4 to verse 10. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me. Shall we arise to sing this song?
Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. Keep.